All right, let's get going. Today's daf is daf Chaf Hey. A little bit to do from yesterday's daf, and then we'll start with the new Mishnah, the Sugya. Great concept that comes up from yesterday's daf. If something's Tameh, can you be Metameh it? Now, I know when I say that, it's, you know, you think to yourself, wow, we're really in the world of Gemara. Like, what a Gemara question, right? If something's Tameh, can I be Metameh it again? But it's right. Well, first of all, right, there's the idea of increasing tuma. That's one. But even if you're not increasing tuma, there is some nafkaminas. There's going to be some practical differences in terms of this abstract question of if something's tummy, can I be mitame it again? Notably, yesterday the Gemara asked the following question. We know that a bull's mitzari. If we know that one of the things that got us off topic yesterday in the Gemara. And the conversations between Rabbi Chiya and Rav Kahana, and which Rav Kahana was it? But one of the things that they were talking about is the ability of a bowl to be mitzarif. Put something in a bowl, and everything now in the bowl collects, and the bowl unifies. And that's the basic concept that we learned yesterday, to the point in which, if I have two things in the bowl, two chatzi isarons, two halves in the bowl, and I touch one of the halves in the bowl, the other half becomes tameh. The Gemara yesterday questioned whether this is a din d'oraisa or this is a din d'rabbanan. And it's based on the Mishnah and Chagiga, and that's all yesterday's discussion. But we're still finishing up from yesterday. But part of yesterday's discussion is, let's say I have the following scenario. Let's say I have a Chatzi Yisaron that was tummy before went into the bowl. And then I placed it into a bowl, and I placed another Chatzi Yisaron in the bowl. So here, we have a scenario where I have Tum and Tahara in the bowl. Now I know the bowl unifies, but the bowl only unifies when it becomes tummy in the bowl. If it became tummy before it entered into the bowl, so the bowl doesn't just simply combine everything together. In other words, in order for tumma to exist, it needs to have contact. It needs to come into contact with tumma. And airspace, especially even airspace of a bowl, is not enough. If the two halves were in the bowl and I was metame one half, the other half becomes metame because of this idea that the bowl is mitzarif, but it has to happen in the bowl. So yesterday we posed the following question. Let's say I have two halves. I was metame one half and the other half is not tame, handled by somebody else. And then they were both placed in the bowl. Then the tful yom, the person who's tame, comes along and touches the piece that's tame. So the question on the table was, is that going to do anything? And the expression the Gemara uses, it's a great expression, is savalo tuma, right? Maybe when something's tamei, it's soveya. It's like full of the tuma. So if it's full, you know, when you're full, you can't eat anymore. I wish that were true, but unfortunately, there's still room. But savalo tuma is the idea that it's full of tuma, and you touching it. If you're not adding a level of tuma, if you're not adding a degree of tuma, so then your contact with it is nothing. Or no, is that even though it's tame, but you touched it, you kind of sort of say it's like hitting the refresh button, right on the computer, right? It's like okay, you renewed its tuma. You didn't change anything, but you renewed its tuma. So this is the question on the table, and the Gemara wanted to bring a proof to this from a Mishnah in Kalim. Okay, this takes us to the bottom of Chav Dalam and Aleph. We did all this yesterday. The Mishnah in Kalim dealt with the following scenario. I have a sheet that's used for lying down on, and I have a Zav, or a Zav will lie down on the sheet, so the sheet is Tameh with what's called Tumas Medras, which means one of two things. Number one is that the sheet is an Ava Tumah, it's a source of Tumah, like the person himself. That's one Chiddush of Tumas Medras. And Chiddush number two is that even if there's no physical contact between the person and the sheet, right, but it's supported the weight of the person, it's going to receive this Tumas Medras. Okay, those are the two Chiddushim. And then we discuss the scenario. The Mishnah and Kalim discuss the following. What if I then take the sheet, which was designated for lying down on, and I convert it, and I want to make it into a curtain, into a window curtain? So, it's no longer considered a sheet. It's now considered just a window shade. So, what happens to the Tumas Medras that goes away? Now, there was a machlokas in the Mishnah in Kalim. When that Tumah goes away, so does it leave a lingering Tumah? Right, the expression that we used yesterday is, well, not an expression, but the way we conceptually understood it yesterday is that it's as if the sheet touched itself as the tumah was departing, leaving it with magas medras. It comes into contact with a medras, which makes it a vlada tuma. That was the opinion of the Tanakhama, and Rav Yossi doesn't subscribe to this whole concept. Rav Yossi says simply the tuma just leaves. Okay. And then Rav Yossi said, continuing as a review of yesterday's shiur, Rav Yossi said, well, here's what I do agree with. If I have a zav who touches the sheet, in other words, before you converted it from a sheet into a window curtain, if I have a zav who touches it, so the medrash goes away, but the negia, the maga zav, still remains. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. When the zav touched it, it was already medrash, so can't you say the tank is full? It's already tummy. What is this contact going to do to change anything or do anything? And the Gemara's answer to that question is, wait a second. How do you know he touched it after it was medrash? Maybe he touched it before it was medrash. And that's what we got up to yesterday, and that's the point that we got to in yesterday's daf. We continue in the Gemara. We're on Chavdal Amud Beis.
Quick question.
Yeah.
When you're referring to it as the refresh button, right, that full yom, yes?
Mm-hmm.
What would there be any difference if a second full yom did that instead of the first one?
Right. So it's a fair question. I don't know if there's a difference. I can't see a difference. Okay? I can't.
The same level of tumma.
Right. Yeah, but it's a different individual.
It's a different source. Okay. Look, I hear the question. I don't see a difference, I don't know.
Okay,
so in the Gemara, we left off at an awkward place, but that usually happens on Shabbos. Right, the Marv just kind of jumps at us. So I don't have that. Here I have a soft ending. On Shabbos, I have a very hard ending. So it's a rough ending sometimes. So 10 lines from the top of the Amud. Ella. Misefa. So the Gemara says, okay, let's go on. Let's go on in the Mishnah and Kalim. We get a chance to learn Mishnah and Kalim today. Okay, well, how about the following? Here's what Rabbi Yossi would acknowledge. I have two sheets, one sheet over on top of another sheet. Now remember, in the world of Medrash, you don't need physical contact between the Zav and the sheet. Whatever he's lying down on is going to get Tumas Medrash. So Menachem Zel Zav Yashav Zav Aleim, and the Zav sits down on top of it on these two sheets. Now Ha'Elyon Tame Medrash. Okay, so the top sheet which he's actually sitting on, so that sheet now is Tumas Medrash. VeHatachton. Now watch this. What happens to the sheet underneath? Tame Medrash, Umaga Medrash. Okay, so number one, it gets Tumas Medrash because it supported the weight of a Zav. And it was meant to be sat on, so it gets Tumas Medrash. Plus, this is the exciting part, it's also Maga Medrash. It touched a Medrash. It touched Tumma. What Tumma did it touch? The sheet right above it. The sheet, it could work with as many sheets as we want. We only need two to show the concept, but you're absolutely right. It could be as many sheets as we want. And the second sheet touched the first sheet. Now remember, the first sheet is an avatumma. It's a source of tumma. So now the second sheet came into contact with the first sheet. So the second sheet is two things. It's medrash and maga medrash. And now we have maga is only a rishon and medrash is an av. So now we're in great shape now because we have just demonstrated that you can have a tumma overlap on another tumma, and remember, the maga is only a vlad. It's only a vlad. You could make the argument, wait a second, if it's medrash, right, if it's an av, savalo tumma, meaning the tank is full. There's a right, what good is it if you now introduce it to a vlad tumma, or it becomes a, that doesn't, shouldn't make any difference, it's an av tumma. The tank should be full. So the Gemara says, "V'atachnu tamei medrash u'maga medrash." V'amai. So here the Gemara asks the question, "Lema sava le tuma?" So the Gemara says, "Why don't you have this concept of sava le tuma? If the tank is full, so there shouldn't the contact with tuma, even though it's tuma's medrash, it doesn't matter. Contact with tuma should mean nothing, should have no effect on it whatsoever." And the Gemara answers really easily. So the Gemara says, it's not a good comparison. Because in that scenario over here, when I have the Zav sitting on the double sheet, on one sheet on top of another, those two tumas occur simultaneously. So correct. Meaning if I have something which is a avatumah, or even a vladatumah, and I want to zap it with another tumah which is the same degree of tumah, it's not going to take. It's full. Tank is full. So it's not going to take any more tumah. But if the two tumas are coming in simultaneously, like the case of the Mishnah and Kalim, where the two tumas are coming in simultaneously, so now we don't have the concept of sevelot tumah because it's coming in at the same time. At the same time, so you can have multiple tumas coming in simultaneously. But once it's tamei medras, that's it. Window of opportunity is closed. Okay, same thing over here. Once the chatzi isaron is tamei, that's it. The tful yom touching it is not going to make any difference whatsoever. Period. End of that discussion. Great discussion. Kind of a awkward ending. But the question of sevelot tumah is still left on the table, and the Gemara does not resolve the question of sevelot tumah, whether you can, so to say, have a refresh button on tumah. Okay, next discussion of the Gemara. Amar Rava. Isaron shechilko v'avad echad mehem. Okay, you have an isaron. You divide into two halves. Why? I don't know. The motivation? I don't know. Okay, but let's just deal with the case. So the isaron, the one isaron of flour, which is the shear that you need for a mincha, gets divided into two halves, and you lose one of the two halves. Okay, so you're kind of stuck, because in order to bring a mincha, you need a full isaron of flour, 43 batesim of flour.
Excuse me, what is a half? Does it mean half, or does it mean just two pieces?
Yeah, and that doesn't have to be exact. And again, the case over here is he shouldn't even divide it to begin with, but
no,
okay.
There's no implication.
Yeah, half is lav dafka. So shechalko v'avad echa mehem ve'ifrish achkar tachtav. So I need a replacement half. So he goes and he gets a replacement half. Okay, v'nimtzas harishon. Okay, and now he finds the first half. So, just so we can communicate and have a healthy conversation, this conversation is not going to be long, but just so we can communicate, so let's call the original piece, right, that's, we'll call it one, the original piece, the piece that he lost we'll call 2A, and its replacement is 2B, okay, so we have the original half, that's one, the second half that he lost, that's called 2A, and its replacement's 2B. And let's say now, awkwardly enough, he has all three in there. Now remember, usually on a date, it's usually you'd prefer two people on a date. The third person on the date is like the third wheel on the date, right? And it doesn't work out that well. So tachachar tachta v'nimtzas harishon v'harei shlosha munachem bebisa. Okay, now, all three of them are in the bowl. Now, nitma avod. So let's say 2A, right? 2A becomes Tamei. So 2A becomes Tamei. Now remember, the bowl's mitzaref.
Right.
The bowl combines. That's the whole discussion of Chav Dalet. Chav Dalet is dedicated to the topic of the bowl being mitzaref, which is really Mishnah and Chagiga, but okay, it's mitzaref. So Nidma Avod Verishon mitzarefin, Mufrash a mitzarefin. So 2A and 1. Meaning the original couple, if you will. Okay? So those two become tummy, but the mufrash, the one that you, 2B, does not become, it's not mitzarif, because that was only a replacement. That was only a substitute.
But are they all
okay?
In the vessel?
Wait. Yeah, everything's in the vessel together. Nidma mufrash, what if 2B becomes tummy? So then, mufrash v'rishon mitzarfin. So 2B and 1 become tameh because that was the pairing. But avod ain mitzarfin. But 2A is not mitzarif because once I coupled 2B and 1, 2A is, you know, that's the third wheel. And it doesn't become tameh. Nitma rishon. Now, what if 1 becomes tameh? Now, one becomes Tamei, Shnehem Mitzarfin. Everything becomes Tamei. 2A and 2B. Okay? This is the opinion of Rava. Abaye disagrees. Abaye Amar Afil Nitma Echad Mehem Nami Shneim Mitzdarfin. Abaye says, stop, you're confusing me. 1, 2A, 2B. Abaye says, look, all three halves are in the bowl right now. It's all together in the bowl. And therefore, Abaye says, it's always, everything's going to become Tameh. Now, I know, all right, I'm speaking on behalf of Abaye. I know that 1.5 Yisarin is 50% too much.
Right.
I know that. But still, Lamaisa right now, they're all in the bowl. They all have some sort of relationship with one another. Okay, I understand 2A and 2B aren't directly related to one another. But the only reason why I have 2B in the bowl is because I lost 2A. So they're all related, and they're all in the bowl. So they all live in the same house. Okay, not my idea. I got some nutty ideas in terms of how to make analogies. It's not my idea. The Gemara uses exactly that language. My time akulu b'nei bikta dahadade ninu. They all dwell in the same house. And since they're all in the same house, one becomes tameh, the other two are mitzarif, and Abai says, and I don't care which one it is. They're all related. Okay, now, let's take this idea even further. Again, we're same scenario. I have one half. I have a second half. For whatever reason, they got divided. I lost my second half. I replaced it. So it's 1, 2A, and 2B. V'chein le'inyan kemitza. And the same story is with the kemitza as well. Meaning, kamatz mina avod, right? Let's say I do a kemitza from the avod, 2A. Shirav v'rishon nechalim. Mufrash eno nechalim. So now if I do a kemitza from 2A, which ones am I allowed to eat? So I'm allowed to eat 2A, because I did the kemitza from 2A, and 1. Because
right.
2A is coupled with 1. Kamatz mina mufrash, if I do kemitza from 2B, right, the replacement, shira v'risha nechalen avod eino nechal. So I can eat 2B and I can eat 1, but I can't eat 2A. Okay. Remember, because right in my designation of 2A and 2B, you understand, one of them, according to Rava, one of them is shayach to one. If it's 2A, it's not 2B. If it's 2B, it's not 2A. Okay. Kamatz min rishon, shneihem ein nechalim. So funny, I so didn't see this coming when I was reading the Gemara. I did not see this coming. If let's say I do the kemitza from 1, so then I can eat shirayim of 1, I can't eat shirayim neither of 2A, nor of 2B. Perfect. Michael, perfect. Rashi says, why? Because you don't know which one. Rashi says, Kamatz min harishon shneihem amor mein nechalim. Look at Rashi, third to last short line on the page. Rashi writes, Sha'arei shneihem nizkakim lekamsol shel rishon. Because look, once they did the kemitza from one, so now one is the relationship with both, 2A and 2B. The kamitz eno matir ela yisaron Oso chati shofresh mimenu the echad men hachatzal and halalu. Now, why know what kemitza does? Kemitza is matir; it permits. Now, it certainly permits from one. That's a given, the original. It also is also a matir for one of the twos, either 2A or 2B. Problem is, the kaven deloyada ezehu lo nechal lo zev lo zev. So Rashi points out the problem is I don't know which one. Because was it the original? Was it 2A? The one that I lost? Was it 2B? Was it its replacement? I don't know. Therefore you can't eat from either. That is all the opinion of Rav. Just give me 1 second. I will take the question. Abaye Amar Afilo Kamatz me echer mehem shneim eno nechalem, my time akulanami b'nei bikta dahadadinino. And Abaye, same point that he made previously. Previously he made it in terms of tumah, here he makes it in terms of kemitza, but it's the same point. And that is, I look at the three halves as they're all being related. They're all living in the same house together. So it doesn't matter to me which one I did the kemitza from. I did it from either one, I did it from 2A, I did it from 2B. The one that I took from, that I can eat. The other two, I can't eat, because I don't know which of the other two I was kamatz on behalf of.
According to Rava, When you do kemitza and he says you can bring it from number one, right? How do we know there's enough shirayim in that number one to constitute a shir?
There isn't enough shirayim. What do you mean? We know it's not enough.
How could he say that you could eat from it?
Because when I do a kometz, I do it. Right. Yes, you're right. The problem is, I don't know which one it's mitzarif to. Was it mitzarif to 2A or was it mitzarif to 2B? And because I don't know, so therefore I have to abstain from both.
Yeah, but Rava said you could eat from one, no?
You can eat from the one that you did the kamitza on.
But the thing is that there's enough nut shit.
Agreed. So there's another one together with it. It's either 2A or it's 2B. I just don't know. But the kamitza is good. Now, if it bothers you, the kamitza itself shouldn't be good. That would be a good question. Well, all your questions are good. But that would be a good question, particularly because the Gemara is about to ask that question. The Gemara is about to ask, wait a second. If I don't know which shiraim it belongs to, so let's go back to the kamitza itself. Let's question the actual kamitza. The Gemara is about to ask that question. Maskef l'Rav Papa. Let's go on. So Rav Papa says, "V'shiraim didei mi nechalim ha'ika danka de komets de lo kariv." So the Gemara says, first of all, right? Gemara is going to have two questions. Now Rav Papa's question is, I don't understand. Even it's shiraim. Look, now the Gemara uses the word danka. Danka means a sixth. Shita Mekubetza changes it to a third. Third's better. Third's just easier to understand. Look, I have three half isarons in the bowl right now. I have to do a komets. Now, in theory, the komets represents all three. So when I'm doing a komets, in theory, I should do a third of a comet from one, a third of the comet to the other, a second, a third of the comet from the third. And I'm doing a kamitza over here. It seems to be that which I take a fistful of doesn't represent all three. And so Rav Papa says, so the comet is not good. And right, it's really... It's more of the same question, but the first question was, how can I even eat the shiraim of this one? And the second question, which is really just a takeoff, a spinoff, is, wait a second, if the comets that I'm holding in my hand actually is made up of some chulin, because the assumption is that we're prorating, meaning I have half, 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 I have three halves over there, so I should be prorating. So if I'm prorating, so when I took my hand and I put it into the first half, some of the comets is chulin. Mm-hmm. I can't burn chulin on top of the mizbeach. So these are the two questions the Gemara asks. Rav Ashi deals with both these questions with one shot. Rav Ashi Amar, comets bedaita de kohen talia milsa, the kohen ki comets isarin ki comets. False assumption. You're assuming that because the three halves in the bowl, so the kamitza has to be prorated. A third from this, a third from that, a third from that. Rav Ashi says, no. False premise. Komets is done, idaita de kohen, on the mindset of the kohen. Kohen can take the komets from wherever part of the mincha he wants. There is a total discretion on behalf of the kohen, where the kohen can decide, you know what, I want to go into the bowl over here, and do the kamitza over here. Now, I want to go and do a kamitza for this part of the bowl. There is no limitation on the kohen where to do the kamitza from. Being that that's the case, I know there are three halves over here, but because kohen has full discretion where he can take the kamitz from, so he can go into the first half, take a kamitz from there, and that's all considered kamitz. Yeah.
This is a force case because the Kohen would know that he really only needs two, right? He only needs
two
one
of the three.
Zoran. So
right.
He could have taken the other one out, and
should
this is all force.
Right. To make this case better, simpler, he would have taken one of the halves out and left just a fully Zoran. Gemara's just dealing with the scenario of what if he didn't. How do we view the relationship between 1, 2A, and 2B? Michael, you're right. The easier way to handle all this would just simply be take one of the two is out, either 2A or 2B. And to be honest with you, the Gemara's not even clear which one should have been taken out.
Why would he do that?
You would go make another one.
I burn it.
You put in the keli.
No, you go make another one.
I don't know. I'm not even sure. I'm not even sure, to be honest, which 2A or 2B should be taken out. Meaning the original one or its replacement?
But if you took one out, you'd make another mincha.
Okay, fine. But the Gemara just wanted to leave it as it is because the Gemara wanted to express the relationship between 1 versus 2A and 2B. Okay, good. That's the end of that sugya. Okay, that's Chavdalah. Chavdalah is all about Sira. And now we move on to today's daf. Today's daf is Chaf Hei. And today's daf is also one singular topic. And it's a topic which we've dealt with in the past. We've handled this topic in Zvachim. We've handled this topic in Psachim. We handled it in Yuma. Right? Unbelievable Bekiyas? No. I look on the side of the Gemara, and you could tell, it tells you where we've seen this before. But you should be saying to yourself, as we're learning today's Daf Chafei, we've heard all this before. That's correct. We've heard all this before in Psachim and Yuma, and in Zvachim, and here it is in Menachos, and it's today's Daf. It's Daf Chafei. Nitma HaKometz. Okay. Kometz becomes Tameh. Okay, somebody in the Beis HaMikdash is Tameh, shouldn't have been there to begin with. A sheretz is found in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, that you can't handle. That's unforeseen, right? A dead sheretz is in the Beis HaMikdash. Whatever the scenario was, the kometz becomes Tameh. Now, Tameh is a psul, it's a disqualification. And we know that once a carbon becomes disqualified, you're not allowed to bring it up onto the Mizbech. You should not bring it up onto the Mizbech. Now, there are many psulim. We're going to be talking over the course of this short daf today about many different types of psulim. There's a psul yotzei, there's a psul of pigol, there's a psul of nosar, and there are others as well. Okay? And we know that when something becomes psul, it should not be offered up onto the mizbech. We also know, let's ratchet up the ante. We also know that if you put it up onto the mizbech, You may be able to keep it there on the top of the Mizbech, but you're not going to get credit, meaning once it's disqualified, you know what disqualified means? It means you're out. Right? You're no longer in the game. Okay, so that's usually what psul means, and that means you have to go back home, and you have to get a new carbon, you have to offer a new carbon. Usually, right, 9 out of 10 times, right, numbers I just made up, but totally fabricated. Most of the time, almost all the time, it means you got to start all over again, if it's disqualified. Yes. Tuma is an exception. Where tuma is a psul, is a disqualification, where if it's brought up onto the Mizbeach, you get credited, even though it's disqualified. What makes tuma so uniquely different? So I'm going to answer that question in just a moment. How does it become acceptable? How does it become allowed? So this is the power of the tzitz. Kohen Gadol has 8 begadim that he wears. One of the 8 begadim that he wears is the tzitz. It's a head plate. It's a gold head plate that he wears around his forehead, al mitzcho, right on his forehead, tied in the back with two ribbons. On the gold head plate, it says Kodesh LaHashem. Somewhat of a debate exactly how you write Kodesh LaHashem on the head plate. And that is what's called the tzitz. And we have a concept that the Mishnah uses this terminology. The tzitz is meratzeh. The word is my English addition. But you understand. Right? Tzitz is meratzeh. The tzitz of the Kohen Gadol is meratzeh. The Gemara in Yuma has a discussion and a debate. Does a Kohen Gadol need to be wearing it at the time in order for the tzitz to have its effective nature? Or is it meratzeh just simply being there? Being in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, the Gemara in Yuma has that discussion. We will not be discussing that point today. Okay, that's for another time.
Is it after it was burned or before it was burned?
No, what do you mean? After? During? During its burning.
Why it's burning, you get the tzitz out.
The tzitz is, no, it's Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol's wearing it.
Right.
And that's it. In other words, by just simply him wearing it, it affects Ritsui. It gives the carbon a pass.
No kavana or anything is needed.
No, it works. Sits works. Again, there is a discussion: does a Kohen Gadol have to actually be wearing it, or even if it's in the dressing room, so to say? Okay, that discussion is true, but this is the concept of the tzitz being meratzeh. Okay, and so now all we're going to do today it's such a basic daf because it's really the basic concept of the tzitz being meratzeh. That's it. And it happens to be we're having the discussion in the context of a kometz, of a carbon mincha, but this is true regarding any carbon that becomes tameh.
There's no tumah ever going on Mizbeach because the tzitz would change it.
Now, does the tzitz make it tahor, or does the tzitz make it just simply okay? I don't know if the tzitz makes it tahor, meaning the tzitz doesn't turn it back to being tahor. The tzitz gives it a pass, meaning the tzitz is like, I'm providing for you a special dispensation. Right? Most of the time, If it's possible, you got to go back to the drawing board, you got to start all over again, and you got to buy yourself a new carbon. But the tzitz gives a pass on this.
Can you say those who say that it doesn't
Right, correct. If it's right, if it's mitzvah, right, correct. Mitzvah tamid, we know the Kohen Gadol is not wearing it all the time. So it could be that the mitzvah tamid means it always is going to be effective. Correct. Nitma ha-komets v'hikrivo, it sits meratzah. Okay, so if the komets becomes tamid v'hikrivo. Now there's another discussion, which again, it's a little bit beyond our daf discussion for today. If something becomes tameh, can I put it up onto mizbeach lechatchila, or only b'dieved? In other words, this discussion is only post facto. The simple pshat of the Mishnah, you read the Mishnah, the simple pshat of the Mishnah, it only works b'dieved. Right? Nitma hakometz, v'hi krivo, and it was still offered up afterwards, tameh, hatzitz meratzem. Okay? Sitz provides ritzui. Let's go with a different psul. Yatsa, let's say the comets was taken out of the walls of the Azara.
That's not good.
That's not good. It becomes disqualified. And now you bring it back into the Azara and you put it onto the Mizbeach. Ein hatzitz meratza. Sitz does not provide atonement. It does not provide ritzui. Shatzitz meratza ala tame vena meratza ala yotze. Now, the Mishnah gave the example of yotze. What other examples could the Mishnah have given? Oh, about a dozen other examples, right? Give or take. Meaning, basically, the Mishnah's point is, for Tumah works, for any other disqualification, it does not work. And it happens to be that one example it gave was example of Yotze. Okay. Tana Rabbanan.
It's working only for the... for something that becomes tame in Beit HaMikdash, not something that we didn't know it's tame and brought it in.
If it becomes tame before,
yeah,
before,
you
didn't know, that's a good question. It's kind of going to come up later on. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. We start off with the brayso of Anas Aaron is Avon Hakadoshim, and Aaron will be able to bear to Lensoa. Nasoa over here means to carry. In other words, there's a certain weight. There's a certain chait that Aaron can handle. He'll be able to burden that sin. So, which is that? V'chi eza avon hu nosei. What can he burden? Im tamar. And now, the Braisa is going to go through a list of disqualifications and basically say, no, 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 not that, no, not that. And you know what we're going to end up with? We're going to end up with tuma. Okay. The Braisa takes us through the process. Im tamar avon pigol harek var ne'amar lo yichashev. The Torah says, when it comes to pigol, parshat sav, lo yichashev. No, not that. Im tamar avon nosar. How about leftover karbanos? Maybe the tzitz can handle that. Harek varnemar lo yiratzeh. No, not that. The Torah says lo yiratzeh. Ha'eino nosei ela avon tuma shehutra mechlala b'tzibor. It's going to be tuma. Now, the reason why it's going to be tuma is because we know that tuma is anyway kind of like a lighter disqualification. What do I mean it's a lighter disqualification? Because we know that if the carbon Pesach, if the Jewish people are Tameh, the majority of the Jewish people are Tameh, and Pesach is coming around, we don't have to wait till Pesach Sheni. We can bring the carbon Pesach on Pesach Rishon. On the 14th day of Nisan, we could bring the carbon Pesach. Tumah hutra b'tzibur. Tumah becomes permissible on a communal level. So you see that by Tumah, there are already exceptions to the world of Tumah. So once Tumah's got holes in it, so to say, so now the Gemara says, so let's just add on. I know that Sitz is Maratza for something, for some Avon, so which one is it going to be? It makes sense, it's Mistabra to say Tumah. So Maskefla Rabbi Zera, Eim Avon Yotze, the Gemara says, okay, by the way, that's the end of the Braisa. Okay, so the Braisa only deals with three disqualifications. It talks about pigol, it talks about nosar, and basically says, okay, it's not pigol, it's not nosar, it's tumah. Okay, but now the Gemara is gonna wonder, how come it didn't mention this, how come it didn't mention that, how come it didn't mention this? Just on the simplest pshat level, how come the Braisa only mentions those three? Because those are the big three. Right? What do I mean by that? Right, and it's not a reference to the Miami Heat. Right, what do I mean by that? It's the big three. It means that to write pigol, nosar, and tameh are the three psulim in the Beis HaMikdash where you're going to be chayv kares. if you eat it. So on the simplest level, just simply those three are the big three, and that's why, right, not pickle, not nosar, okay, fine, it's going to be tummy. Masker for Rabbi Zeir, but now the Gemara just simply wants to know, how come the Brice didn't discuss other psulim, other disqualifications? So Eima Avon Yotze. Okay, what about Yotze? Shehutar Mechlalo Bebama, because remember, by Yotze, in the time when the backyard bamas were okay, so there was no psul Yotze. I could offer carbon in the comfort and privacy of my own home. So Amalei Abaye, Amakar LaRatzon Lahem Lifnei Hashem. Avon de Lifnei Hashem in Avon de Yotze Lo. Okay, because it's got to be Lifnei Hashem. In other words, it's got to be a psul that takes place in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Yotze, by its very definition, means it's not Lifnei Hashem. We're not talking about Yotze. Maskifla Ravilai, Ema Avon Small. What about the psul? What about the disqualification of using your left hand? Using your left hand. Avoda cannot be done with your left hand. We know that if avoda is done with your left hand, the avoda is pasul. So what about the psul of left hand? Shehotu mechalo b'yom kippurim. So the Gemara says, and by the way, let's also add to this question, we know that the left hand sometimes is okay, notably on Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, we've discussed this many times. When the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so he takes the machta, he takes the shovel pan in his right hand, and he takes the spoon with the guitarist into his left hand. Now remember, he's working by himself. He's got no help. So he's going to need both hands. Okay, so you see that on certain occasions the left hand's acceptable. So if there's some level of acceptability of the left hand, so why not say that sits as maratzah and all the other times as well? So Amalei Abaye, Amakra, Avon, Shahaya Bo, Udechisiv, Lafuki, Yamakipurim, Dehich, Shira, Besmohu. So the Gemara says, no, it's not a good example because we are looking at something where the Torah says that's no good and the sits as maratzah. The left hand on Yom Kippur, Torah says that's how he goes in. That is not just okay. That's the way he's supposed to do it on Yom Kippur, so it's not a good analogy. It's not a good example. Rav Ashi Amar Avon HaKadoshim V'lo Avon HaMakdishim. Rav Ashi says, look, we're talking about a disqualification of the karban. Left-handedness is not a problem in the karban, it's a problem in the kohen. That's not what we're looking for. Amar Le Rav Sima Bereid Rav Idil Rav Ashi V'amila Rav Sima Bereid Rav Ashi Rav Ashi the Ema Avon Ba'mom Shehuta Mechalo Ba'ofos. What about an animal that's blemished? Maybe the tzitz can handle that. An animal which is blemished. Now you'll say a blemished animal. No way. Gemara says no, it's precedented because remember by birds, if a bird is blemished, we don't care. Right? The Amramar. Thomas Vizachris Bemehem of Ain Thomas Vizachris Ba'ofos.
So what does tzitz do? If it's not the default.
Because we know that a mum disqualifies by an animal. But it doesn't disqualify by a bird, but at least it shows you
that it should be mevatze by an animal?
That, no. Yes, yeah, that's what the Gemara is suggesting. The Gemara is suggesting that the tzitz is mevatze by an animal. Look, we know it, we know by birds, right? We can ignore a mum. So by animals, we can't ignore it because the Torah says we can't ignore it. But at least it sits...
No.
Okay.
Same answer.
Okay. No, because it's a mum of the animal.
I know, but it's
No, it's not. The Gemara can't use the Rav Ashi answer because it's a mum. It's a blemish in the animal. So Amalei, Alech HaMakra, Lo Yiratzeh, Ki Lo L'Ratzon Yelachem. No, the Gemara says no. Because when we get to Parshas Amor, coming up very shortly, we're going to see the Torah over there says, no, if an animal has a blemish on it, Lo Yiratzeh, that is unequivocally no good, right? No dispensation. Tzitz will not give you a pass. All right. That's it. We're left with Tumah. You know that was going to be the result. I mean, that's, you know, the Gemara goes through this process. The process over here just explains to us why all these other disqualifications are not the same as Tumah. But you know the result is going to be the same yielded result. Tumah is the only thing that the tzitz gives a pass on. So if the carbon is brought in a state of Tumah on the Mizbeach, the tzitz is Meratzeh. Tana Rabbanan. Okay, if you have blood that becomes tummy and you sprinkle it onto the mizbech, so bishogeg, so if it was done unintentionally, inadvertently, Now, shogeg, shogeg means that usually shogeg means you weren't aware. Meaning, what weren't you aware of? In other words, you know you're holding blood in your hand. And you know you have to sprinkle the blood on the mizbeach. But maybe you didn't know it became tamei. Or maybe you didn't know that tamei blood shouldn't be sprinkled onto the mizbeach. Okay, that could be areas of what you were shogeg about. If you sprinkled it b'shogeg, so hurts them. It works. You, the owner of the carbon, get credited for that carbon. It's a good carbon. I don't know if I want to say it like that. Carbon's not really good carbon.
Just accept it.
Okay?
Just
it's merat. It's merat. I know. Merat doesn't have a great English translation.
Did what it's supposed to be.
Right. Right. It's acceptable.
It's acceptable.
You got to pass. Right. Right. Exactly. Right. In other words, like in a course where you're like pass fail.
Sure.
Right. Because you know you're getting that C and you don't want that C. So you decide, okay, I'm the only one who did that move. Okay. So you pass fail it. What great admissions I make. So you pass fail, it's okay, so you get a pass. So Vizarka Bishogig hurts. Bemazid, law hurts them. What if you did it intentionally? The Kohen knows it was Tame. And the Kohen says, Afa Pekin, I'm sprinkling anyway. Law hurts that does not work out. It does even right even with the evidence even post facto it doesn't work out. Ba medvar mamor and biyachid. That's only by a carbon yachid. Aval b'tzibor, but if it's a carbon tzibor, ben b'shogeg, ben b'mezid, hortza, there it will work. Both if done inadvertently or even if done intentionally. Uve ove kochavim. If the carbon belongs to a non-Jew, now we all know we've said this many times already. We've gone through all zvachim, right? And we're a quarter through menachos already. We know a non-Jew could bring carbon. Now it can't be a chatas, and it can't, right? It's only going to be neder unedava. It's only going to be a voluntary carbon. It's only going to be an ola. Okay, and a non-Jew can bring a carbon if he brings a carbon, and the carbon becomes tamei, right? So there, bein b'shogeg, bein b'mezid, bein b'ones, bein b'ratzon. Ones is a little bit funny. What does that mean? Someone. Gun to the head, whatever. Okay, low hurtza. Okay, so there, tzitz does not work. Tzitz doesn't work for the carbon of a non-Jew. Tzitz only works for the carbon of a Jew. All right. Okay, Braiser number one has taught us that if the blood becomes tamei, so and you sprinkle it, so hurtza, so it's an effective. You get a pass on the carbon, but only if done b'shogeg. U riminu. And the Gemara says, and on that, we're going to ask the following contradiction. We're on the top now, Chafei Amud Beis, and Braisa number two. Alma hatzitz meratza, al adam ve'al habasa ve'al achelev shenitma ben b'shogeg, ben b'mezid, ben b'onis, ben b'ratzam, ben b'yachid, ben b'tzibor. Second Braisa tells us that tzitz is meratza, even if it's done intentionally. Even if it's a carbon yachid and it's done intentionally, the tzitz is meratza. Okay, we have a blatant contradiction between Braisa number one and Braisa number two. Braisa number one tells us that the tzitz only works if done b'shogeg unintentionally for a carbon yachid. Braisa number two says, even if it's done b'mezid for a carbon yachid, the tzitz would work. Okay, so we have a blatant contradiction between Braisa number one and Braisa number two on the issue of what if it was done b'mezid. So how do we deal with this contradiction? Amar Rav Yosef, Lokasha, HaRav Yosef, HaRabbanan. So it's not a neat way to deal with the contradiction, but we're going to say that it's a machlokas tanayim. Whether or not the tzitz affects atonement, b'mezid is subject to a machlokas between tanayim. D'tanya, ein tomei menatamei ala tohor. V'im taram, b'shogeg chumas u'chuma, b'mezid ein chumas u'chuma. I have two piles of grain. Now I know we just left the world of karbanos. I'm aware. We're going to come back. I left, but I have two piles of grain. And now, one pile of grain becomes tamei. Ein tormim min atamei al hatahor. I can't take truma off min atamei from the pile of grain that's tamei and have it apply towards the grain that's tahor. I should not do that. Right? And of course I shouldn't do that. What kind of truma did I just get? truma tameya. The truma now is tamei. So here, Dan, here's your truma that's tamei. Now he'll look at me, he'll thank me, right? And it will not be a loving thank you. It will be, I cannot believe that that's what you've given me. You gave me truma tameya. Now it belongs to the kohen. Now it's not
he can
not
sell
for
it.
What
he can
well he's a he can get benefit from it. So let's say for example it's oil, right? So let's say for example it's oil. So he can use it to burn. He can burn it. Okay, he can use it for illumination, but in other words, it's limited. He's limited to what he can do with it. Okay. So ain't tarm him in a tamalatar, the imtarm is shogate shumaster truma. The mazid ain't shumaster truma. So the Tanakhama says that let's call it the Chachamim. Okay, either way. The Chachamim say that if I did a bishogeg, it's okay. If I did a bemazid, it's no good. Rabbi Yossi Omer, be bishogeg, be memazid, shumaster truma. Okay. And Rabbi Yossi says, Bishogig and Bemezit, the Shumas of Truma. And now the Gemara is going to extrapolate. And the Gemara says, you see what just happened? We have a scenario where I shouldn't have done it. I know, it's not carbon, it's not sits being Maratzeh. Okay, and the Gemara is going to question the connection. But what just happened is I have Truma, which I shouldn't take off from Minatame Ala Tahor. According to the Chacham, if I did a Bishogig, it's okay. But if I did a Bemezid, it's not okay. And according to Rav Yossi, even if I did a Bishogig or if I did a Bemezid, it's fine. So the Gemara says, let's now draw it back to us over here. I have two Brysas. Brysa number one says Shogig is not okay. We'll call that first Brysa the Chachamim. Brysa number two says, even Bemezid, it's okay. And we'll call that Brysa Rav Yossi. And what the Gemara will do, we'll stop here. We'll pause over here. Gemara will do tomorrow is the Gemara will say, really, is that fair? Is that a fair comparison to compare the Truma scenario with the Karban and the Tzitz scenario? We'll finish it off tomorrow. We'll finish off the Sugya tomorrow. Okay, and we'll continue with tomorrow's daf.